So what we're going to talk about tonight is training the human spirit. And our main text is going to be Proverbs 20:27. And it says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What does that mean? It means that that's the light. Our spirit is the light in which God leads us from, leads us through. And your spirit can be trained and educated the same way your mind or your intellect can be trained and educated. So what I want us to look at tonight, and some of this was in your book on how to be led by the Spirit of God by Kenneth Hagin. Maybe some of you have finished this already. It's near the very end of that book, and maybe some of you haven't even gotten to it yet. But most of this is in there. But I still want to go over it with you in person and talk about some of this. There are four main areas to focus on for training your spirit. The first is going to be to meditate in the Word. The second is going to be to practice the Word. The third is going to be to give the Word first place. And the fourth is going to be to instantly obey the voice of your spirit. Now, this is in that book, so you don't have to take notes. If you just want to sit here and listen and absorb it, that would be good. You don't have to take notes because you've got most of this. What does it mean to meditate in the Word? Sometimes we sit down and we want to just really partake a lot of the Word of God and really just jump in and do a lot of reading. But there's other times where we want it to really sink into our spirits. We want to really meditate or dwell on specific verses. Maybe somebody needs to strengthen themselves in a specific area, for instance, healing. So meditating would be to take a verse like, by his stripes ye were healed, or himself bore my infirmities and carried away my diseases, and just focus on that, and just meditate on that. And meditate, in Hebrew, another word that's similar in translating there would be to mutter, or to say over and over to yourself. So there's something about speaking it out loud in meditating also. So there's something about saying it where you can even hear it. It's not just reading it, but focusing on that one verse or those two verses just over and over until you're building yourself up in that area. It's not necessarily always just sitting down and just breezing through the Bible really fast. I mean, it's good to read and get a lot of scripture covered, but it's also good to have times where you act like a sponge and you soak in it. Okay, you just soak in a couple scriptures. Get them really strong in you. That's meditating on the Word of God. Meditating on the Word. Go ahead and open up your Bibles to Joshua 1:8. I love this verse. I love this passage. These are good. There's a couple scriptures in here I really want you to turn to in your own Bible. Sometimes when you're reading good material, but it's not in the Bible, even though it's scripture, if you don't look it up in the Bible yourself, then you don't underline it. It's not as easy to go back to and find. But if you then take the time to kind of go look them up in your own Bible and highlight them, see, I can see some of you doing it right now. That's good. Joshua 1:8, this is an outstanding scripture. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Okay, so what can we see out of this passage? So the book of the law shouldn't depart out of our mouth. We're supposed to be speaking it. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So we're speaking it and we're meditating on it. Meditating on it. Thinking on it. We're thinking on the Word of God. Thinking on the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. Why? So that we may be careful, is one the way one puts it, New American Standard, I think. Careful, we may observe to do according to all that is written therein. So we're supposed to be doers of the Word. We're supposed to be speaking it. We're supposed to be thinking on it. And we're supposed to be doing it. We're doers of the Word. Then what happens? Then we make our way prosperous. And then we have good success. Then we make our way prosperous and then we have good success. So we're to be thinking on it, speaking on it, and doing it. Okay, turn to James chapter 1, verse 22. We're going to do some Bible flipping tonight, okay? And I want you to really just get these for yourself in your own Bible. We are to practice the Word. That's something that we talked about a little earlier. Practice the Word. What does it mean to practice the Word? But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be ye doers of the Word, meaning do the Word, not just hearers only who are deceiving themselves. So in other words, when we hear the Word of God, we're accountable to act on it. We're to be hearing it and acting on it, not just hearing on it. not just hearing it and then letting it go, or hearing it and saying, well, that's good, that's nice, but we're to hear it and act on it. Hear it and act on it. So that's a doer of the word. And that sounds real easy until we say, well, how do we do the word? What does it mean to do the word? Or a lot of times people will think, well, I am doing the word. I am a doer of the word. And then a couple verses we can look at would be like John 13:34 that talks about to love one another. A new commandment I give to you, that you would love one another. So if we're doing the word, it means we're loving everybody. We're walking in love with everyone. That's a doer of the word. And if we're really doing the word, not just hearing it, then what else is happening? We're not fretting. We're not having anxiety. Philippians 4:6. You know what? Let's back up. Does everybody have John 13:34 underlined? John 13:34? Okay, if you don't, that's a good one to underline. And if you do, go ahead and go on to the next one, which is Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So that means we're supposed to be praying, and we're supposed to be thankful. We're supposed to let our requests be made known to God. And when we do that, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. But it does not do any good to know that scripture unless you act on it. You know, have you heard the saying worry wart? Or no, they're just being responsible. They think being responsible is worrying. Those are two separate things. Worrying is not being responsible. Being responsible is taking care of the issues that you need to address and take care of, but we're not to worry about it before or after. We're supposed to cast that anxiety on the Lord. We're not supposed to fret. We're not supposed to have anxiety. We're supposed to cast that on Him. Pray and give it to Him. See, that's a doer of the word. If you're walking around anxious, you're not doing the word. So a lot of times people think, well, if I'm just nice to everybody, or I haven't been mean to anybody, I haven't hurt anybody, so I'm a doer of the word. To be a doer of the word, it means you're walking in love, and it means that you're not taking any anxiety. And these are areas that sometimes people seem to forget, and they think, well, as long as I'm just nice to everyone, but no anxiety, which means we walk in perfect peace. Perfect peace, because when we cast everything on Him and we pray and we know He's heard our prayer and we're not praying with anxiety, see, because then that doesn't do any good. He's not answering those prayers because those aren't faith-filled prayers. It doesn't do any good to go to God full of anxiety and pray. It's get rid of the anxiety and then pray. And then His perfect peace will guard your heart and your mind. His perfect peace comes when you refuse to fret. You refuse to have anxiety. Just refusing to do it. And even if the enemy comes and brings thoughts that are distracting to you, like right now, you just stand against it. And you just stand in God's perfect peace. I refuse to fret or have any anxiety over anything. And then what are we to do? We're to think on whatever's lovely, true, honest, just, pure, whatever's of good report, any virtue, anything worthy of praise, think on these things. See, this is important because this is being a doer of the word. We want to be doers of the word. If you want to build your spirit, it doesn't do your spirit any good to have anxiety. It's almost like you're draining yourself. You know those, I think they called a colander that you use for spaghetti? I mean, you can pour content into a bowl with no holes and it can contain it. But if you pour water into one of those colanders that drains for spaghetti, you're losing everything you put in. Maybe except for the noodles, right? Yeah. But I mean, what you want. Like, in other words, when you put the word into your spirit, you want the word to stay in your spirit. And anxiety is like holes in your spirit that just all out. And you're thinking to yourself, but I spent a half an hour in the word today. Or I've been meditating on scripture, I put scripture in, but then if you just turn and start yielding to anxiety, then you're draining, you're depleting yourself again. So it's important not to fret, not to get into anxiety, but to keep your spirit in a place where you don't yield to that. This is very different from maybe the way the world functions. Sometimes they think that fretting and anxiety is being responsible, but it really isn't. It doesn't help and it doesn't benefit anyone. So if we want to train our spirit and get our spirit to develop, it's very important that you don't yield to anxiety. Okay, we don't want to yield to that. We want to keep ourselves in that place of peace. And we want to think on good things. And not that we're not a group of people that live in denial. We're not existing that there are issues or problems. We deal with them, whatever you need to do in the natural, and you pray about them, but then you turn it over to the Lord. You don't carry it. You don't carry that kind of, you don't carry the problems. You let the Lord carry the problems. So we really should be a people that look like we're free. You know what kids look like? They look like they don't have responsibility, because they don't, for the most part. They're light. Why? Because their parents take care of everything. Well, God wants that kind of freedom for us, because he's your father, right? Doesn't mean it's irresponsible. I mean, there are times where you tell your children they have to clean their room and they have to do it, right? They still have work to do, but they don't carry the weight of the world on their shoulders. But see, we shouldn't either. Jesus did that. And so we need to see ourselves as being his children. Let him carry the weight. Let him carry the responsibility. And he provided a way through Jesus and then through prayer, through us being able to have fellowship with him, talk with him, and turn things over to him. Let him carry it. And you'll notice that you won't deplete your spirit. You won't be draining yourself. You'll keep yourself in a stronger place spiritually. So let's keep going. And something else, go ahead and turn to Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What I want us to see there is the seek ye first the kingdom of God. One of the ways that we seek first the kingdom of God is by giving attention to his word. So now flip over to Proverbs 4:20. These are good. And even just because they're in the book, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God, I want you to get them in the Bible for yourself. I want you to see where they are. I want you to have them underlined. I want you to be familiar with these passages. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So we can kind of get this whole flow of meditating. We can see the meditating. Keeping the word in our mouth, keeping the word in our heart, keeping the word first. Keeping the word first in our life. We're to think on the word of God first. We're also to instantly obey the voice of our spirit. And we've learned enough about that in this course that you know what that means now. If you've got a check, then not to override it. If God tells you to do something, that something's a yes, you go with it. If God tells you something is a no, then you instantly obey. Instantly obey. And I'll tell you why. Because you fine-tune your spirit into God's leading. If you, on a consistent basis, do what I'm going to call override, really it's sin, because you're not following God, you're not obeying God, because you know the leading, you know how to be led, every one of you in here now, you know how God leads you. Whereas before there may have been some uncertainty, you know that leading. You know him bearing witness with your spirit. You know when something's a yes and something's a no. You've already, just through these last several weeks, fine-tuned your spirit enough to know him. Now you need to obey him. So when he tells you something is a no, you know, you go to pick it up, whatever it may be. It may even be something that you're going to eat or something you're going to drink, and you've got to check, don't do it. You may open the refrigerator door. You've got to check, don't do it. What? Okay, why? Because he's training your spirit. Well, first of all, there's reasons, and we don't necessarily even need to know all of the reasons. There are things he knows about the health of your body, what's healthy for you and what's not, what's good for you and what's not. He knows what is best for you. He knows what's best for you. And if you keep going after those Lay's potato chips when he keeps telling you not to, it's, well, here's the thing, you're laughing, and it seems so minor. But you are Bible school students. He's leading you. You're rebelling when you say no and you keep going anyway. And so we just need to really realize what we're doing When he tells you half gallon of ice cream instead of a whole gallon, then stop at the half gallon, okay? Ice cream's not a sin. Potato chips are not sin. Unless he tells you no. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. I'm not pointing the finger. He's really working with me right now. Praise the Lord, I've done well so far today. Okay? You know, he's working with me on this. And some of it is from just even being in this class. That this is my leading. I'm leading you right now. You're going to pick that up? Okay, are you going to let it go? Because if you override that, you're overriding his leading. And you're dulling your spirit and your sensitivity to his leading. Because then when it comes time to, you need to decide what car to purchase or who to marry, you don't want to be dull. Well, I'm not really sure that was God. Why? Because you've done an override. So don't do override. Keep yourself real sensitive. So when there's somebody sitting there, they're looking for a handout for money, you don't necessarily have to give to everybody that asks. I remember I gave one time, and I watched them walk into a liquor store. I didn't feel led to give. I just did. And I watched them walk into a liquor store. Well, that doesn't feel very good. So you need to be led. You need to be led. There was another time somebody wanted money. They said they wanted money for lunch. And so I thought, okay. I didn't just hand them money for lunch. I said, okay, well, let me go into the store, and I need to get some things, and I'll come back out. I went into the store, and I thought, we'll see. And I bought them lunch, bought them a sandwich and a drink, and came out, and I handed it to this person. And they said, I don't eat that. Wow. And I thought, forget it. They didn't want what I had. Yeah. I think the only thing they had available was like a ham sandwich or something. I don't eat that. And I thought, wow, really? Well, I would eat it. I mean, or my husband would eat it. And I thought, well, then you don't really need this. Yeah. Really? And then I realized, you lied to me. You lied to me. Now, the reason why I'm telling you that is this is money. Hey, you can take it. You can go preach the gospel. Or you can take it and you can use it for ministering to some of your personal needs. Yeah. Or you can take it and give it to somebody that's going to walk into a liquor store. Right. That doesn't mean it's always like that. Sometimes there's really a genuine need and you can give to that. But I've heard of panhandlers that have made an incredible amount of money. Yeah. I mean, higher than some people's salaries. Yeah. So you need to be led. The Bible says the poor you always have with you. I mean, we can keep, you know, ministering in that direction as we're, but we're to be led. We're to be led. And so you are going through your life, and you are led. You are led. You see somebody sitting on the street, and they've got a bucket out, and they want money, and they've got some sign that says whatever, and you need to know in here if it's true or not. I mean, I did that one as a test. I thought they were lying to me anyway. I really did. I thought, we'll see. And I went in and came back out. So now I pray. I mean, I used to just always give, and some of it was training my son, so we're going to give. Now I kind of pray. Do I have unction? Is it in my heart? Does God want to do this? You know, does the Lord want to give? Does God want to give? You know, are you leading me? Do you want me to give? And I just stay real sensitive to that. Why? It's his money. So if you're led in these little, if you're led at home in front of the refrigerator, you can be led when you're out and you pass somebody that's looking for money. If you can be led when there's somebody looking for money, you can be led what missions trip to go on. You see what I'm saying? It's all the same thing. It's the same God, the same Holy Spirit, the same inward witness. It's the voice of your own spirit. He'll lead you and direct you into exactly what's perfect for you, exactly what's right for you. Not necessarily the person next to you. It may not be perfect for them, but it'll be perfect for you. He knows your body. He knows your likes, your dislikes. He knows you. He knows what's best for you. And as you just are willing to go with that, okay, in the little things, you know, in the little things where maybe I've said no, I'm going to make sure I'm saying yes. And the little things that you think aren't important and you discard, they're important. Temptation to go out and drink, wanting to just go do that. Fight that. Fight that. Because he'll give you a check. I know he will. He'll either tell you not to do it or he'll give you a check. I know him. I know him. I live with him also. Okay? And so if there's a temptation to do that, he'll give you a check, and then you've got a choice. Are you going to rebel and go your own way, which leads to death, or stay with him, which leads to life. Because obedience is life. His words are life. He's always, always leading us into life, into highest and best, for his glory and for our personal life, whether or not we understand it completely at the time. He is always leading you into life, always leading you into highest and best, always. Always. And if you just get that established and you realize that about him in the little areas where he wants to lead and guide you, give you a check and you think, oh, you know, it's not that big a deal. If you'll just follow him, he knows. He knows. He knows what's best for you. So if you can trust him, it's easier to follow that leading. If you'll just get it established that he always knows what's best. And he's got your best interests at heart also. That helps to know too. He wants what's best for you. The Bible says that earthly fathers discipline us as seems good to them. In other words, they do the best that they can. They do the best that they can. But God does it in a way that is flawless. When God disciplines us, it's the way of life. There's no error in it. There's no error with God. No error. His ways are complete and total life. He's leading you into life. Everything he does to lead and guide you, everything he's showing you, everything he's revealing to you is for your best. He has your best interests at heart because he loves you. You're his child. And you know what? There are times where he knows things. That he knows me inside and out. He knows me. He can pick things out for me. He can tell me what to do and where to go. He can tell me when Macy's is having a sale on suits. And he'll just lead me right there at the right time. I just wait on him. Let me know. Let me know when they have a sale. Let me know when they've got good stuff that I'd like. You know what I want. And he'll just, okay, now's time. Go. Go to Macy's. Okay. All right. I'll go. I even prayed one time. This is, okay, the girls may like this more than men. But anyway, I wanted some sweater sets. You know, those wool sweater sets? Well, they can be expensive. So I prayed that he would just send some of those into some of the, not the thrift stores, but Marshalls. Send some of those into like Marshalls or Ross and then let me know when they're there and tell me when to go. Okay? I mean, it's what I had faith for at the time. I didn't want to go pay full price and walk in wherever. And so I prayed and then forgot about it. And then maybe a week or two went by and just suddenly in here it was like Marshalls. Marshalls. I'm like, okay. Pulled into Marshalls, that first rack, that designer rack in the very front. Walk right in. I'm like, praise the Lord. They were pulling them off the racks and hanging them up. Because in those stores, a lot of times everything gets picked over and separated and whatever, right? So they were pulling them off of the cart they just wheeled in and placing them there. So I got the matching pieces at great prices and I was thrilled. But that's being led. Just being led. I mean, you know, I'm going about my day. And it was just like Marshalls. I'm like, okay. Well, it's the same way we're led about giving somebody money. You know, go give this person this amount of money. Go give this person that amount of money. And it doesn't have to be somebody on the street. Sometimes it's somebody in church. And one time I was in church service and there was this girl in front of me. It's not in this church. And when we were members of another church. And just there was this girl sitting in front of me. I just had this impression. I was just supposed to hand her money. I to this day, I don't know what it was for. I mean, it's not that often. Didn't know the person didn't know me. But after the service, just handed them some money. God put this on my heart for you. And it may have been a complete answer to prayer for her. Yeah. Right? We're going to believe that it was. Okay, so because, I mean, I don't necessarily have that leading all the time like that specifically, but there I did. So it's just fine-tuning, training your spirit. Every day you're training your spirit. Every day you want to be meditating in the Word. You want to be putting the Word first. You want to be doing the Word. You want to walk in love. Walking in love means being patient. Do you know that the first word used to really describe love is patience? Love is patient. The King James says long-suffering. How about that? Long-suffering. Love is patient. Love is long-suffering. So if we're doers of the word, it means we're patient with people. And as you exercise this in your life, you'll continue to develop your spirit more. So let's look at those things and just go over those 4 points. We are to meditate in the word. We are to practice the word, or we could say it this way, be doers of the word. We are to give the word first place. What does that mean? If you're not sure what to do about something, you go to God first. Seek God first. What does the scripture say about it? And that's something that we should always be asking ourselves when something comes up. What does the word of God have to say about this situation? If I'm about to make a decision, what does the word of God say about this? Are there scriptures I can think of that I can draw on, that I can meditate on? And then instantly obey the voice of your spirit. If you'll remember those things and you'll put those into practice, it'll help you to train and discipline your spirit. It'll help you to just fine-tune. It'll help you to mature as a believer. It'll help you to get so sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life that you'll know exactly what His will is over even minor details of life. You'll know immediately if it's a yes or a no. You'll just know. You'll know on the inside. Just the knowing will be there. Or the yes or no will be there. There will be very strong on the inside. You will know. And you will know and have direction for your life. The more you develop this, the more you put this into practice, the easier and easier it will be for you to be led, and the more your spirit will be a safer and safer guide because it's been filled with the Word of God. It is a safe guide right now because it's born again, but it just gets sharper and sharper. That knowing gets clearer and clearer. The longer you walk with God, well, it doesn't matter. Somebody could be walking with God supposedly for a long time, but if they haven't put these things into practice just because they were saved, it doesn't necessarily mean they've developed their spirit. But once you're saved and born again, and if you're choosing to develop your spirit and really train yourself in this way, that spirit leading and guide will become so clear. You just know. You just know. Just like Reverend Jim Caseman, when he was here, he said, I just knew on the inside. All the incredible things that he did that he gave us testimonies about, do you notice that most of them were just what seemed to me he was describing as it was bearing witness? Well, that really confirms what we've learned, that that's the main way that God leads you. It's bearing witness. What just on the inside of me, it just seemed right. It just seemed good. The more I thought about it, the more I prayed about it, it like grew lighter and lighter and brighter, and I felt happier and happier about it. It bore witness with me. He's done some incredible things by flat out being led by God through the inward witness. Just a knowing. Then I had a knowing. It's just in here. Just knew. Should go this way. Should do this. Isn't that fantastic? It's so simple. But we don't want to bypass that and get so accustomed to the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. We see, He is a perfect gentleman. We don't want to ignore Him. We want to keep ourselves really sensitive to Him. Really sensitive. Please lead me. Guide me. Thank you for your leading. Thank you for your guidance. I want to obey you. I choose to obey you. Keep leading me and guiding me. I'm so thankful, Father, for the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of me. I'm so thankful for your mercy that you never give up. You never quit. Thank you that you never quit. Thank you, Father God, that even if I have fallen short of your glory before in being perfectly obedient to the still small voice, Father God, or the voice of that voice of my own spirit, Father God, I repent now, and I ask you, Father God, to just fine-tune that in me, keep working with me, and I endeavor to obey you even in the little details of life, even in the little details of life. And I thank you for it, in Jesus' name.